All right, if you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd just like to say on behalf of my wife and myself, we just want to thank all of you for many of you opening your homes to us and for Pastor DeVinny just really, as it was said last night, just spoiling us. And, you know, this is our third missions conference, and we have not been treated this good. And so all the other churches have something high to shoot for. I'm telling you, we've just marveled at all the things that God has done and God is doing here in this church, and what a good crowd tonight. And, you know, I'm not real nervous, but, you know, I suppose I am a little bit here and there, but I just want to, you know, if we lived in Del Rio, we'd be here. I just want to say it that way. We love y'all, and a little Southern in there, y'all. And just so gracious, y'all coming up and talking to us and shaking our hands. And, you know, you don't have to do that, but, you know, it makes us feel at home. And we just appreciate that. And on behalf of my kids, they would want to be here, but they're with Grandma back in Tennessee. And my mom flew down to watch them. And our kids are, Isaac is 11, Zach is 10, and Abby is 8. And we got to keep Connor away from her. But anyway, my wife and I were talking coming up here, and said that, you know, you keep on the straight and narrow, buddy. You know, maybe one of these days, you know. No, I got it. But anyway, we just want to thank you for all that you've done, and you know, just the hospitality and everything. And we've enjoyed getting to know you. Hopefully you've gotten to know us a little bit, and we'd like to have a good time. And the ministry shouldn't be boring. Right. And, you know, we're saved, and so we ought to be happy about that. And Amen. And that's what we're trying to do. And, well, let's pray, and then we'll get started tonight. And hopefully just help you with some things that helped me in my life. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight and to speak. And, Lord, I think of little Anastasia tonight needing a liver transplant. Lord, would you just put your hand upon her, that you would heal her or provide a transplant, and allow the doctors, and just give them wisdom to know exactly what to do for her, and help that family to know that you're in control. And thank you for the brother who is actively working on them. And I pray that you would just save that family, Lord, that you would work through this little child. And Lord, I just want to praise you for the family that's has a contract on their house, and it's just really awesome to see how you work. And even though sometimes it seems like we have no faith, and our faith wavers a little because of our flesh, we know that you're still the same, and that you answer prayer for this brother's shoulder who it was healed, and how they're praising you for that, and just the tremendous blessings that you've done even since we've been here. And we think of the missionaries traveling for the McNaughtys and the Freidensteins as they're even in services tonight. And we pray that you would continue to give them safety and help them to get to the field quick. And, Lord, I pray for this church, Lord, that you would continue to grow it, that you would allow families to come in and to be under the Word of God, and to really just grow in the Lord. And thank you for the two saved today. And Lord, protect Pastor's family. That you would protect the children, and Miss Gina, I pray that you would continue to help them to have continue in the great work that they have here, and how they love their people, and it's so evident. And Lord, this church had prayed for a pastor, and they got a good one, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for Brother Van Horn being the speaker this week, and a dear friend, and it's been iron sharpeneth iron all week, and I just want to thank you for that. Lord, help me as I speak tonight, Lord. Help me to say the things that I should. And Lord, just work through me. And I'm thankful that you have already. And I pray that you would help me to be able to say something that would help these people in their Christian life. In your name we pray, amen. Bill Fay, an evangelist who was a guest speaker at a Crossroads Bible Church in Bellevue, Washington on Sunday, September the 9th, returned home Monday, September the 10th, on his American Airlines flight that he saw a stewardess, and she was breaking up ice with a wine bottle. He got up from his seat and asked her if there wasn't another way that she could do it more safely. He said he was afraid that she would hurt herself. And she was moved that he would even be so concerned about her. He then gave her a gospel tract to read when she had a spare moment. A short time later, she found Bill and told him that this was the sixth gospel tract that she had received from someone. "What does God want from me?" she asked. Bill responded, "Your life." A few minutes later, he was praying with her to accept Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. After September 11th attack on the World Trade Centers, Bill looked up the names of those on American Airlines Flight 11, the first plane that crashed into the towers. The stewardess' name was listed. On September 11th, she entered into the eternal presence of the Lord and Savior. Aren't you thankful that this man saw a need to give the gospel, even on the airplane? And, you know, the Lord is just, even today, as we were going out visiting, we had such good contacts and talking and giving the gospel and to being saved. But you know, one thing that we need to really consider and we need to notice is that everywhere we go, there are people who need the Lord and they have SOS on their back. Save our souls. And, you know, until we get an idea, until we get that mindset in our hearts and in our lives, we're not going to do much in the way of soul winning. We're not going to do much in the way of passing out gospel tracts. I'm telling you what, this man right here has been such an encouragement. I mean, gospel tracts, and I'm thinking, man, how's he do it? And just such an encouragement, Brother Van Horn is to me, and you know, of how he just, it doesn't matter who you are, you're getting a track and you know it. And when you're with him, you know he's giving the track out. And I just appreciate that. Amen. That's encouragement to me. And because, you know, sometimes it is hard. And we come up with excuses of why we can't do it. And, you know, tonight I'm hoping that maybe some things that I would say to you and try to encourage you with will help you to kind of put those things aside. That they will help you to not have excuses, but to see them as save our souls. That people do need that light. And it was really neat because the conference is revolved around light. And the verse I'm going to use tonight that the Lord really spoke to me about has to do with that very thing. If you look in verse number 3 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." In verse number 3 it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And I'd like to point out three different things of why it's hid. Number one, according to verse number 4, it's hid because of Satan. Satan is actively blinding the minds of people. I remember a boy in my Sunday school class. He was inviting his cousin to church. And I remember looking at, his name's Chad, I remember looking at Chad and I said, "Chad, don't be surprised if your cousin comes up with some sort of excuse not to come." You know, I didn't want to be a discouragement to him, but I didn't want him to get discouraged. And so I was trying to help him. And sure enough, he said, "Mr. Lewis," he said, "I invited him, and we got all ready for church and everything. We got ready to get in the car. And one of them said, 'You know, I don't really feel good. I don't feel well.'" And the whole family ended up staying home except for Chad and his family. And they stayed home. And they missed the gospel. You know, that's Satan's way of deceiving people, blinding them, blinding their minds, and they come up with invalid excuses. Excuses that really mean nothing, but because of their own depravity, their own nature, they don't want to be under conviction. And Chad knew that. They did not want to be under conviction, and so they came up with an excuse not to go. I was in there. You heard my testimony. I wasn't saved until I was 17. And I went to a public school. My wife went to a Christian school. And, you know, I was blinded. I literally was blind. No church ever came to my parents' house and knocked on the door. Still to this day, not a church has come to my parents' house. And my parents were saved later on, and my dad passed away last June, right after Father's Day, with cancer. And but I knew my dad was. I know my dad's in heaven, and I know I'm going to see him one day. Amen. And I remember my mom; she was just so down about it. And I said, "Mom, we're going to see Dad again." And you know, in the Bible, it talks about a great cloud of witnesses. And our youth pastor gave a great message and how they are looking down on us and rooting us on and cheering us on. And you know what? That was such an encouragement to me because, you know, I know my dad's looking down saying, go, boy, go. Do it, do it, do it. Keep it going, keep going. And, you know, obviously you don't know the background of my dad, but he used to chew and he worked in a factory and everything that come with a factory. And I told somebody today that he had a thing of tequila one time and he was eating napkins and everything. I mean, it just tore him up. And that stuff is wicked. And you know what? All that, I saw my dad and all that. My dad had an anger problem, an attitude. And I remember one time I kicked the football in the air, a Nerf football, hit him in the head, and that thing come back at me about 100,000 miles an hour. And my dad was a hothead. And, you know, a little bit of that I got and received that. I was known as a hothead, too. And I still have my moments, and the flesh comes out. But I try to work on it. And but you know what? Satan just, he is so sneaky and so crafty. And, you know, you heard the brother last night saying, you know, don't blame it on Satan. A lot of times we get in the way. And I'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, Satan, we have to know our enemy. We have to know our enemy. You know, these soldiers don't go off and, oh, we're going to Afghanistan. Well, let's just go over here. No, there's logistics involved. There's a lot of time and a lot of effort to know where we're going to put our soldiers and where we're going to not put them and who's going to go where and all that. Well, you know what? As Christians, we have to do the same thing with Satan. You better know what he does and what he doesn't do and what he can do to you. And in this verse, it says that he is the one. He is the one who has blinded the minds of them that believe not. He is the God of this world. And Satan uses false teachers. And I may name drop the Joyce Meyers and the Benny Hinn of this world, that they get on there and they want you to feel good about yourself and they want you to think it's all about you. And that's totally wrong. It's not about you. It's about Christ. And it's about what he did on the cross. But you're not going to hear that from them because they are false teachers. They're trying to blind you. They're trying to think, give you something that you don't really need. But if you're not careful and if you're blinded, you have your spiritual blinders on, you're not going to see that. You're going to fall for that deception. You're going to fall for it. You better be careful. And I haven't found anything halfway decent on TV that you probably should watch anyway as far as all that religious stuff anyway. You come to church, you'll get full enough. And that's why we have a midweek service too. You come and get full through the week. And, you know, we must understand that the devil is our adversary. He's our enemy. Ephesians 6:12, when the gospel is preached or presented, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. The Bible says we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. It is not us, it is Satan who is the one who wants to spiritually blind us to hide the gospel. And the gospel is hid to those who are spiritually blind. In 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. A sinner will believe what they want to hear. Satan does not want the light of salvation to shine in their hearts. I talked to a Catholic man today, and he wanted to mix in his stuff with my stuff. And we weren't going to have the argument, and we didn't. And he appreciated that and shook my hand. But you know what? He is spiritually blinded. And I knew that standing there. I knew that. I asked him if he had Jesus in his heart. I asked him if he were to die right now or die today, if he would be in heaven. He said yes, and then he gave me some off-the-wall answer of why. And I knew it was wrong, but I wasn't going to argue with him because I figured if I argued with him, then I would lose what I just handed him. He would look at that track and say, you know what, that man didn't listen to a word I had to say. Not that I agreed with it, but they need to see love. Jehovah's Witness, they need love. When you show them love, they'll listen. And this man thanked me up and down, my wife and I, up and down, and shook our hands, and just, it was great. And he didn't get saved, but you know what, he wanted to pay for the track. He goes, how much do I owe you? And I thought, huh? But, you know, gas money? No. But you know what? He's spiritually blinded. And he has no idea that he is blind. And that's Satan. That's Satan. They'll believe anything they want to hear. He doesn't want the light. Satan does not want the light to shine in the hearts of people that aren't saved. Paul described to the Jews in Romans 11:25, and even in 1 Corinthians 3:14-16, it says in those verses that a veil is upon their heart and they are blinded. Satan will put that veil over top of them. He will put it over their heart. We could talk about Pharaoh, and Pharaoh hardened his heart every single time. Let my people go. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, Satan just has very, very wicked devices of how he can just blind people from the gospel. Remember that when you quenching refers to fire. When you quench the Spirit of God, you are slowly killing the fires of the Spirit. Because this quenching quenched not the Spirit of God, that means that when you quench the Spirit, you are putting the fire out. We pray for fire, the fire of revival. We pray for the fire, God's power, to be placed on people's lives. But when we quench the Spirit, and you've been there just like I have been, and the Lord is tugging on your heart, give them a track, give them a track, give them a track, tell them about the Lord, tell them about the Lord. And when we don't do it, then what you've just done is you've said, what I have is not important to them, and you have quenched the Spirit of God. And God can't work in their life. And we have to be very careful. Know your adversary. Know what he's all about. Satan has enough help. There are enough Christians around the world not doing what they're supposed to do, giving the light. We don't need to jump in there and help them out. Right. Let's get in there and let's give them the light. Satan's job, we want it to be hard, not easy. And I think a lot of times we give Satan an easy road. And it shouldn't be. We ought to make it so it's hard for him to get to people. When we go out visiting, you better believe Satan, that's hard on him. When we go out visiting and knocking on doors. And I know not everybody can get out here on visitation, but you ought to make yourself a part of visitation and just watch God work. We didn't have anybody saved, my wife and I, when we were walking around, but we were encouraged. We planted the seed. And a lot of times that's all it needs. Plant the seed, they'll read it, God will water it, get the increase. And we may never know till we get to heaven. But when you keep that thing in your back pocket, it better burn a hole in your pocket because that's the Word of God. You better hand that thing out. And I need to do a better job. I need to do a better job. Well, you're a missionary. I need to do a better job. I'm not perfect. We all need to do a better job. Amen. And so let's not help Satan out. Let's make his job hard. Let's not make it easy for him. Amen. The second thing, sinners hide it. Sinners hide it. The unsaved have a hand in hiding the gospel. Lest we not forget in John 3, 19 through 20, and it says, in this condemnation that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In 1 Corinthians 2:14 it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God must open blind eyes. I mean, even as Christians, in Psalms it says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Even as Christians, we have to ask God to open our eyes. Yeah. Well, even more than that, we have to ask God to open our eyes and open others' eyes to the gospel, to the track that we're handing them. You know, we were going through at the gate, and Brother Van Horn, Mary, you need one? No, we've got some in there. And that was awesome, because you know what? They probably had a stack of them in there. And you know what? They're going to read them. They may never read them. We'll never know, but they're probably going to read them. They're already in there. But you know what? That person already knew they were sitting in there. The seed was planted. And we need to make sure that that's what we're doing. We're helping the cause. Open blind eyes. If we're not careful, we will mess that up. The Spirit of God must open blind eyes. It's nothing you can do, nothing I can do. All I can do is hand them a track. All I can do is tell them about the Lord, but the Lord has to be the one to give the increase. We are just the messengers. When we go to Belize, we are just the messengers. We may never have a church of 200, but it's not about numbers. It's about God. It's about changing lives. It's about working with the people that get saved, and a man called to preach and train that man so he can take over that church, and then we move on to the next one, and he has his own church, and it's started, and that's what we're going to do, and that's what we feel the Lord's called us to do, and that's what we're going to do. Amen. And the Spirit of God has to open blind eyes. You know, a lot of times as a teacher, I'm still teaching. This is my last year teaching at the Christian school. I'll finish up at the end of May. And you know, over the last 12 years of teaching, one of the things that I like to do, and I didn't really realize it until later on, is sometimes I like to be God. Now, let me explain that. I don't want you to think, well, whoa, that's kind of a weird statement to make. But, you know, sometimes I wanted God to work so bad that I would try to do as much as I could for God to work. And God says, you knucklehead, that's not your job. That's my job. And you know what? It took me over 10 years to figure that out. I wanted that kid right there to be on fire for God. And I wanted that kid over there to read his Bible more. I wanted that kid to be more kind to that person. And it was like I was trying to do it myself. And I was trying to be the one saying, come on, you need to do this. And I just didn't let God work. I'd pray for him, but I wouldn't let God just step in. I stepped in, and then I just mess it all up. Because it's not about me. God has to be, the Spirit of God has to be the one to open blind eyes. Human wisdom in the Scriptures is not enough. The Spirit of God must empower. That's what we need to pray for, the power of God. When we hand that tract to someone, when we tell them about Christ, we need to pray for the Spirit of God. Yes, we hand the tract, it's got the Scriptures on it, but God has to be the one that steps in. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the Spirit of God must step in. So we need to understand that not only is Satan the one who hides the gospel, but sinners can also hide the gospel through their own deceit, as the Word of God says. Another one, that Christians hide it, the saints hide it. So we have Satan, sinners, and saints. Saints hide the gospel. The gospel is hid to those that are lost. As I said, my family, they were hid to the gospel. I really remember standing there in that high school parking lot, and I had a Methodist friend and I had a Church of God friend. They both claimed to be saved. They both claimed to be Christians. They invited me to go to church, and I can still remember it as this is just yesterday. I'm standing there saying, why in the world do I want to go to church? There's no God. And man, I look back now, and I showed my mom this. She hadn't seen our video presentation yet until she came down to watch the kids. And she goes, you really thought that, Troy? My own mom didn't even know it. And you know, we never darkened the door of a church. We never went. My dad never saw fit to take us, and my mom didn't. And, you know, I think that's why God has burdened my heart for missions, because my testimony is so much different than my wife's. And there's nothing wrong with a testimony of you growing up in a Christian home and going all the way through and serving God with your life. We need more of those. We don't necessarily need my testimonies, but think about how God's just worked in your life. And how God has taken you from where you were to where you are now. And I can testify of that. And there are a lot of you in here. You could stand up and you could testify of it too. You could testify of how good God has been. And you know what? If we're not careful as Christians, we'll hide the gospel. We will hide it from those who need it. You can't learn how to ride a bike for the first time and then ride it once a year and be good at it. Gospel tracts and witnessing is the same way. Someone who doesn't do it much probably isn't very good at it. You think about that. You know, why can't I give out tracts like Brother Van Horn gives out tracts left and right? You know what? Because I'm not doing it as much as I should. And let's just be honest. I'll be transparent tonight. I don't do it as much as I should. And you probably don't do it as much as you should either. There are times where it feels like the Spirit of God is right there with you and you're handing them out left and right. And there's times where it's just like you just shut off. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I have moments like that. Ask my wife. If I'm at school all day, I've got 29 kids in my class, I don't want to come home and talk. You know, I've talked already all day. And sometimes I'm kind of a bear at that. But, you know, if you're going to learn how to ride a bike and you're going to ride, you get better by riding and riding and riding. Well, I'm not very good at telling people about Christ, and I don't know what to say, and I'm not sure. I'm not a people person and all that. You know what? It's just like hopping on a bike. You got to do it over and over and over again. Well, I don't need any practice. Well, you missed the practice today from 10 to 12. You go out and you can practice on people. Yeah. All right? Amen. Most of those people don't know you. You don't know them. And they're just looking for the light. Yeah. But if we're not careful, we'll hide that light as Christians. We'll hide it from them. We won't give it to them. It's easier to do the thing for the flesh than it is to do the thing that God wants you to do. It is. Every time. We all can testify to that. It's easier not to hand a track out than it is to hand the track out. Because when you hand the track out, you got to say something. Or you might have to explain something. Or you might have to, what's this word mean? Or I'm Catholic, or I'm this and I'm that. And you know, I don't know if I know how to answer. I'm telling you, every single year, I take my sixth graders and I teach them how to give the gospel. And we practice on each other. And that way, when they go to seventh grade, they've got it. They know how to do it. Because that is something that they need in their life. We all do. We all need to be better at giving the gospel. We all need to be better at telling others about Christ. Aren't you glad that the stewardess got saved before the 9/11? Man, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine that if that guy, that preacher, giving that track and seeing her name, had he not known she was saved, leading her to the Lord. It probably just been such a burden on his heart. Had he hid it, like most of us do, that lady would have died and gone to hell. He could have been a hindrance to the gospel. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. When the Lord is pricking your heart to give a tract or to give something out, do it. Yes. God's not going to tell you to do it, and then you mess it up and decide, And it is. It's harder to witness to family members and hand out tracts than it is to anybody. Yeah. It's hard. I've got unsaved family, and I'm telling you what, the last thing in the world I want to talk about is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just be honest with you. It really is. And witnessing to your family is so hard. And you know what? A lot of us, if we would just kind of drop ourselves out of the equation and just, when God speaks to our heart, go and do it. Don't focus on what you're doing for God. Look at what you're not doing. Be concerned about, well, I go on soul winning and all this and that and the other. Well, that's great and everything, but what are you not doing for God? If you may go on soul winning and you may do this little thing right here and barely knock and then leave the track. That's not soul winning. There's nobody going to come to that door, and you know it, and that's why you're doing it. You're not fooling God, but you know what? You're a hindrance to the gospel. You're hiding the gospel, as it says in verse number 3. Be concerned about what you're not doing for God and what matters not to God. Brother Charles Keene said that one time. He said that you should be more concerned about what matters not to God than what you're doing for God. You know, I may go out soul winning all the time, and that's great, and I'm preaching here and here and here and here, but what are you not doing for God? We know what you're doing for God. What are you not doing? What are the areas you need to get better at? What are the areas that you need to step it up in your Christian life? Don't hide the gospel. And I was telling Brother Van Horn this in the car. I remember having, this has been a few years ago, I had a big old 60-inch screen, flat screen TV. I had a 32-inch screen TV. I had the high-definition package. I had Dish Network. I was paying over $100 in cable. And you know what? One day, I remember, I told my wife, I said, it's gone. I don't want it anymore. All we do is sit and watch TV, this, that, and the other. And literally months after that, God called us to the mission field. You know what? It was a hindrance. That was one of the things that was keeping me from doing what God wanted me to do. I was messing it up. A Christian messing that all up. And you know, TV shows, you're watching certain TV shows, and you're not in your right frame of mind. I tell you what, if you're watching something that's not right, and then you go out to get something to eat at McDonald's, chances are you're not going to think, oh, I need to give them a track, because you just watched something that wasn't right. Because you're not in the spirit. And I want to be kind tonight. I don't want to be mean or anything like that. But, you know, Brother Kurt, our youth pastor up Franklin Road, said one time, and I never forget it, God doesn't work through dirt. God doesn't work through dirt. Get that dirt out of there. Think about what you need to do for God. Be careful about doing things that matter not to God. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have a TV. We still have our one TV. We don't have cable. We just have little ears to watch the news and stuff like that. And my kids, we want everything that they watch, it has to be monitored by my wife and I. Amen. They watch Andy Griffith and those types of shows that we can monitor. They don't watch all this Hannah Montana junk and all these other things that really cause young people, and it really blinds them. Yeah. Let's just be honest. It blinds them. And the music, you know, one of the things, my wife, she laughs at me all the time. One of the things that can hinder you or hide you is your music, the things that you listen to. I listened to everything growing up. Remember, I wasn't saved until I was 17, so I listened to it all. I listened to the R&B, the rap, the country music, and all that stuff. But you know what one thing I don't have a problem with today is music, because you know why? Because I gave it to God.
Amen.
And I said, this isn't right. And she'll laugh, because sometimes I'll kid around with her. We'll go through a store, and I'll be like, I know this song. And I'll act like I'm singing it or something like that. And she'll go, whatever. And but you know what? If we're not careful, music will affect us so much that it'll keep us. We'll hide the gospel. Because we'll not have the Spirit of God working in our life, because God doesn't work through dirt. God doesn't work through dirt. Let's be a clean vessel for God. In verse number 4, it towards the end says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, it is the light. In the Bible, in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, it says that Jesus is the light. How do we find the gospel if it's hid? How do we help these people find it? You got to shine the light. How do you find anything that's in the darkness? Use a light, right? In the light of the gospel, Jesus is the light. Remember that when you were in darkness before you got saved, Jesus was the light to you. Think about the things that you see and the things that you're burdened about now. When you weren't saved, you had none of that. You had none of that. Jesus opens those blind eyes and can see. The man, Jesus spit on the ground, a little clay, put it in the eyes. He could see. Paul on the road to Damascus was blind, and then he could see. You know, Jesus is the light. Jesus opens those blind eyes. Paul compared in verse number 6, if I'll jump down there real quick, says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He's talking about creation. Like the earth is the center. It was formless. It was empty. But when he trusts Christ, He is a new creation. God begins to form and fill that new Christian. And the light makes everything new.
Amen.
The light begins to shine in a sinner's life. That's when they get saved. When they see the light. When they see that they need Jesus Christ. I like the little kid's song, "This Little Light of Mine." Remember when you got saved. You know, when I got saved, I remember telling my two friends. And when you get saved, you'll tell everybody.
Right.
If it's real, you'll tell everybody.
Amen.
When I got saved, I remember getting in the car with those two guys that asked me to go to church. And I told them the first thing. I said, "Guess what? I got saved the other night. Guess what? I got saved the other night." And I was so full. I was so full of the Spirit that I just wanted to tell everybody. And you know what? Where has that gone? Where does it go? Where did it all go? Why wasn't it like I was saved back in 1995 and now I'm not as excited about it? Or now I don't want to tell as many people. I want to kind of hide it. And that's kind of what I'm talking about tonight. Don't hide the gospel. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. The other verse goes on and says, shine it all over Del Rio. You want to add it in there, right? I'm going to let it shine. Where have you been hiding the gospel? Is it in your car, in your back pocket, the desk at work, a wallet, front shirt pocket, suit coat? The gospel was meant to be given out.
Right.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. The gospel is meant to go out, not to sit in the pocket. That track rack ought to be empty.
Yeah.
And it's not. Just like my track rack at my church ought to be empty, and it's not.
Right.
That's the light. That's the light that shineth to every man. And that track rack needs to be empty.
Amen.
Maybe tonight that would be something good. Pack it full of tracks. Pack your coat full of tracks. Put it in a pocket. Put it somewhere. The gospel is meant to be given out. Give it out. How about verse number 7? Look down there, please. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. How is Del Rio going to be turned upside down for God? The world. It's the power of God. Each of us have a job to do. We have gifts. We have talents. Acts 9:15 says, Paul was a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. You are commanded to go. Go ye. You are commanded to tell. Go tell. I could never do what you're doing, Brother Lewis. I could never do that. You know, you're right. But God can. Just be an empty, clean, available vessel for God, just as Paul was a chosen vessel unto God. Be empty. Be clean and sell yourself out for God and say, God, I'm empty, I'm clean, I'm available, a vessel for you, fill it with whatever. And until you get to that point, God's not going to show you what you need to do. Just be empty. Be that vessel that God can form and mold. And when you mess up, that's okay. He's going to take you, He's going to smash you down, and He's going to reform you again. He's going to reform you. My father-in-law, my wife's dad, he does pottery. And that's kind of this little side thing. And I remember when we were first dating, I would go out there and he'd give me the clay that was junk because he didn't want me messing up the good stuff. And I just thought it was really neat. It was soothing to watch how they work the clay up and down. And back in the Old Testament, it talks about how the Lord, how He fashions us, how we are the vessel, and how something when we don't do what we're supposed to do, He kind of molds us back down, smashes us down, and then He reworks it again. And aren't you thankful that God doesn't say, well, you got a crack right in there. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm done with you. I'm going to somebody else. He doesn't do that. He puts you back down and He reforms you back up again.
Amen.
And that's such an awesome thing to think about.
Yeah.
That you didn't have to be the way you were before you got saved. You're someone different now. You're a vessel that God wants to use. God wants to use you. Oh, well, I'm just 8 years old. Or I'm just a teenager, or I don't have a great job, or I don't have a job, or I've been looking for a job. And this, all you have to do is just empty yourself and let God fill you through the Word of God, being in church, and under a great pastor that will help you in counsel. That's what you need. Go ye, go tell. You're right, you never could do what I could do, but God can do it through you. I mean, if you asked me I was going to be a missionary back when I was a teenager, I'm like, what? Really, if you asked me I was going to be a teacher, I'd say, what in the world? And I've got 29 in my class this year, and I'm telling you what, they give me every bit that I need. I'm telling you. And but it's exciting. to see God answer prayer, and I get to share it with them. And I've got five or six of them that every day they'll come up and tell me, I want to be a missionary, Mr. Lewis. I want to be a missionary. Because I'm sharing my life with them, and I want them to get excited about what God can do in their life.
Yeah.
And some of us, we sit back and we moan and we complain. You know, before I came in here, I felt horrible tonight. And I prayed three or four times. And I'm telling you what, I feel good. I don't feel like I've ever been sick. And that's God. That's God. Seriously, ask anybody that I didn't even eat tonight, did I? I didn't eat a lick. And I just felt horrible. And I asked God several times, said, God, would you just help me? Help me while I'm up here. And I tell you, I don't feel sick. Now, I may after I'm done, but I don't feel sick right now. But, you know, God will guard the vessel so long as you guard the treasure. God will guard you as long as you guard the treasure. But when you don't guard the treasure, look out. God's going to seem like he's the farthest person from you. Because God doesn't work through dirt. God gets the glory from weak vessels. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. God wants a weak vessel. A lot of times I used to say, you know, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And I don't think I could ever do this and I don't think I could ever do that. Until I got to a point where I said, God, you just do whatever. That's when God started working. Because I was putting myself in there way too much. And in conclusion, I just want to tell you that missions comes down to one thought and one mission from Genesis to Revelation. It's for God's glory. We don't go to the mission field for people to get saved. When people get saved, it's all for God's glory. We're going to tell them about God for God's glory. Salvation and them getting saved and baptized and churches started is a byproduct of all of that for God getting the glory. That's why missions exist. In verses 4 through 7, if you will take that and break it down and look at the prepositional phrases. A little school in me here, sorry. The prepositional phrases, if you don't know much about that, prepositional phrases are sentence completers. They complete the thought. Look how many times it says in there, it says, of Jesus Christ or of God. You look down through there, of God, of Christ. It's all about Him. He's supposed to get the glory. Without them, you don't have a complete thought. If you think about that. Without those prepositional phrases, you don't get a complete thought. Therefore, without Jesus and God getting the glory for the light going out, it's not complete. It's not complete. In fact, it is a complete waste of time if you think about it. You know, my wife and I, our family, we're not going to Belize just to see souls saved and build churches or a Bible training facility or whatever God might lay on our hearts. We're going to bring God glory, that His name be glorified through our soul winning and church planting efforts. We many times have missions backwards. You know, we are to go tell others who don't know, but we go to tell them so that God can get the glory for it. So they know who He is. Why did He create? For His glory. Why did God create man and woman? For His glory. Why did He tell Noah to build an ark? For His glory. Why did Jesus die on the cross? For God to be glorified. It's all about God's glory. God getting the glory through your life. And so tonight I want you to just consider, are you a hindrance to the Word? Are you a hindrance to the light? Should you be telling others more about the light that has entered into the world? You know, they hated Jesus before they hated you.
Yep.
Says it in the Word of God, that they hated Him before they hated us. And yet He died willingly for you and for me, for God's glory. And tonight, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask you some questions. What are you doing to hinder the Word of God going out? What are you doing to hinder the Word of God? Or are you helping the cause and giving the Word of God? It's all about God's glory. Will you empty yourself? Will you empty yourself and say, God, just fill me. I'm an empty vessel for you. Will you give me what I need to accomplish for your glory? It's not about us, it's about Him.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Troy. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Brother Troy, in the front of my Soul Winners New Testament, on a post-it note in the very front, I have this verse. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Those are the ones that are suffering, folks. If our gospel is hid.